The following program is paid for by Van Deest Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Focus on Health radio show, brought to you every Wednesday at 8:30 by our friends at Van Deest Medical Center, where their focus is you. We're doing a live show today, being joined today with Lori Foster from Van Deest Medical Center. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too,
Pat. Well, not too bad today. There we go. So kind of a cloudy day, but not too bad. We're smack dab in April already.
Yes.
It's been a good month so far, but kind of wet, too, from what we've had.
We've had a little bit of everything as far as weather goes.
Now it's supposed to be warm. 82 is our high on Tuesday, and then they're talking maybe some rain and snow showers for the weekend in Iowa, only in Iowa.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. We have some very dear friends from 21st Century Rehab joining us on the show today there, Lori, but you have some announcements you want to share with us?
I do have a couple of announcements I'd like to share. Thanks
All right.
so much,
Absolutely.
Pat. The first today is a big day. It's tax day. People
yep.
know that. It's also the deadline for the auxiliary scholarships.
Uh-huh.
So I do want to mention this one last time. This is a great opportunity for any high school graduate that wants to pursue a career in healthcare. The Van Deest Medical Center Auxiliary is offering six $1,000 scholarships to 2026 high school graduates wanting to pursue a career in healthcare. Individuals going back to further their education in the healthcare field will also be considered. So, applicants must be a resident of Hamilton County or a graduate of any of the high schools in the county, currently working, or have a parent working at Van Deest Medical Center at the time of the award. And we've mentioned the application forms are at the area high schools. The easiest way at this point is to go onto our website, vandeestmc.org, and you will find the auxiliary page. The application is there. It's a link. You can click on it, print it, and get it turned in today.
Final day, so get set for those scholarships coming in from Van Deest Medical Center.
Absolutely. And we typically see them come in kind of at the last minute.
Uh-huh.
I just received a couple yesterday, in fact, but I do want to give that one last reminder, and we hope we get a few more trickling in yet today.
Cool.
Yes. And then we have a wonderful event coming up this Friday. The Auxiliary is sponsoring a uniform, scrub, and clothing sale with Emerson's at the Willow. It will be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the clinic boardroom. Emerson's at the Willow is a clothing store that's located in Mason City. And the sale features medical uniforms, scrubs, there's shoes, clothing, gift items. There's a little bit of everything. These items are available for purchase. Cash and credit cards will be accepted. And I do want to mention this is somewhat unique. It's not a fundraiser for the auxiliary, but rather a thank you from them. Proceeds have been turned into a 20% discount on all items for all shoppers, so you'll want to stop out and check out the goods. Again, it's in the clinic boardroom, and the easiest way to access that is there's a sidewalk that's located between the hospital and the clinic, and it leads directly from the parking lot into the clinic boardroom, or you can utilize either the clinic entrance or the hospital main entrance, too. So that's this Friday, April 17th, from 8 to 4.
Cool.
Yes.
Great item.
And then lastly, I do want to give a mention about the DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses. So this is an award that we give out annually to one nurse, and we are currently accepting nominations through April 24th. So if you want to say thank you to a special nurse, someone that has provided exceptional care to you. Maybe it's been in the hospital setting. Maybe it's been a procedure that you've had done at the hospital or in the clinic. There's an opportunity for you to share your story and thank that nurse. And so we do encourage those nominations. It is a very brief nomination to complete. And again, that application can be found on our website. Go to www.vandeestmc.org.
And again, the deadline is next Friday, the 24th, and the winners will be announced coming up in May. That is what, May 6th, I believe?
May 6th, you're right. That is
Wednesday.
National Nurses Day. And so we will
cool.
be holding our recognition event on that day and celebrating all those who are nominated and announcing our winner.
And before we go to our guests, we want to mention, too, that until the end of the month there, Lori, they have the Donate Life flag And I believe you had a ceremony recently for that.
We did. We had a flag raising ceremony. And yes, as people stop out, they will see that flag out on the west side of our hospital. We also have an informational table that's out for the public. It's located in our cafeteria, and lots of goodies and information about how you too can become an eye, tissue, or organ donor. So we do encourage people to stop by and take a look at those items.
Those items will be there until the end of the month. That's how long the flag is going to be flying there at Van Deese Medical Center.
That is right.
All right. Anything else we've missed out this morning, Miss Lori?
I don't think so. We actually have a wonderful program planned. The month of April is National Occupational Therapy Month.
Yes.
And so this is a terrific time to talk about occupational therapy. And I am so pleased we are joined by two incredible occupational therapists with 21st Century Rehab. And they're here to talk about how they help people regain independence and live life to the fullest.
There you go.
Yes.
So I'll let you carry on.
I will do so.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
So it is my pleasure to introduce our guests, Sarah Zorn, who is an occupational therapist and certified lymphedema therapist, and Diana Raska, also occupational therapist, and she is certified in LSVT Big. Good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for being here on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to see you and Pat this morning.
Yeah, and it's nice to have you here in the studio and live. So thank you so much. You know, before we get started, I'm going to have you each just do a brief introduction, let our listeners know a little bit about you and how long you've been an occupational therapist.
So I'm Sarah Zorn. I've been at the hospital. I actually started at the old hospital, so I've been around quite a long time. I'm starting my 28th year of occupational therapy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm Diana Raska, and I have been practicing occupational therapy now for almost 10 years, and have been between here and then Hampton the first 5 years, and then mostly here in Webster City in the second part.
Wonderful. So the two of them bring some terrific experience to the field and to the patients that they serve at Van Deese Medical Center. Let's talk about occupational therapy and explain to listeners, if they don't know, what exactly that means and what it encompasses.
Yeah, so I always like to first of all start out with what it is not. So it is not... because people say occupational therapy, and I know I've said this before, but when I was going back to school for it, like one of my brothers is like, oh, are you going to help me get a new job then? And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. So
people do. They associate occupation with job. Oh, it's how I can do my job better. They can show me how. No, that's not what it is.
Right. So it encompasses so much. So if you think of like another definition of occupation, it's anything that occupies your time. So it could be like Pat sitting here running his control board. It's like us at work typing on our computer. And if you have an injury or a illness, sometimes we're not able to do those things. And so it could be getting people back into their basic activities or occupations of dressing, grooming, hygiene, you know, just simple things, to the things with like daily tasks like writing, typing, eating, strength enough to do certain things, because it takes strength to get up in the morning, get out of bed, and go to work. So sometimes we're helping people build that endurance as well. So anything that occupies your time, we can help.
Wonderful, which is why it's so important we're talking about this. If you think about everything you do throughout the day, and if you're challenged by doing those tasks, there's a lot. I mean, just within a minute's time, the things that you do. So you think about that throughout your day, and which really just reinforces the importance of this field. Let's talk about who might benefit from occupational therapy.
So really anybody. We have seen young babies all the way up to, we had a 104-year-old the other day. So whoever, you know, they've had an event in their life, and we can help them get back to being independent or as independent as possible. So really, anybody can.
So really the lifespan. Yes. So I want to talk about to how occupational therapy impacts patients, and I know you gals will have some. What are some real life examples of how you have helped patients in situations?
You know, I think a good one to talk about is we have a amputee. Well, he finally, between OT and his prosthetic and PT, he has a arm, and now he's able to feed himself for the first time in like a year. So that's really exciting for all of us. That's a big milestone. So
huge win. Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then some of mine are like if they have had a stroke and maybe they enjoyed cooking or baking cookies at Christmas time. And it's something that is very difficult for them to do. Like they don't have that, the range of motion in their hand or their strength to do it. And then just keep building on that. And let's say also their processing skills are, also there's some deficits there. So then we work together with speech therapy, and also physical therapy. You know, we all like help with the whole getting them back and stronger to do something. But then hearing that when that person goes home and then they come back and they're like, hey, I made cookies with the help of like maybe a daughter or a grandchild, you know, but they were able to actually do it and participate in it. So just hearing that and getting them back involved with their activities is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we speak to the physical part and the physical deficits, but undoubtedly there is, you know, a mental part that comes with it too. If you think about something that you're used to doing and you've done it for years and then you have this loss and you can't do it and the frustration that comes with that and just how the thoughts that you have and wondering if you'll ever regain it back, there's so much to it. And so it really goes together hand in hand. We talk about how there's occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and as Diana mentioned, quite often they're all working with the patients to get them back. And so, like you said, those they could seem like small things, but to that person who has lost that and didn't know if they'd regain it, that's a huge thing. It is a huge win. And so it's wonderful the difference that you're making in lives of patients. It's very much appreciated. Occupational therapy isn't just about recovery. Also, we do want to stress that it can also help prevent injury or decline. Maybe talk a little bit about that and how you're helping patients.
So one way to prevent decline, I'm thinking of like if you're diagnosed with a disease or a progressive disease like Parkinson's disease, since I work with a lot of those patients. A lot of the times, I mean, people are functioning. People are doing their everyday. It's just now they have this diagnosis that is just very heavy and they don't know a lot about it. And so they can come and do an evaluation. You know, they can learn about our program. They could even come in for a free screen because we do that just to learn about it. And then decide, you know, what therapy be appropriate. And a lot of the times what we do is, and I'll talk about a little bit more about that program later, but you go through that, and we're seeing them repetitively, like every week for weeks, you know, and so then you get to educate them on like ways to decrease fall risk, improve the safety of your home. So while they might not be at a fall risk that day, you know, we're preventing falls and risk, you know, into the future,
which is huge.
And then we also provide education on that diagnosis. And another one I think of is arthritis. So same thing, you know, some people, because it's not debilitating at first, but it can be over years. So then we educate on joint protection, also lifestyle factors like sleep, hydration, nutrition, and routine, and the benefits of movement. And so all of that can just improve your independence for years to come.
Yes.
Preventing that decline.
And it's all so important, those things that we talk about. Each of those individually is a terrific program to cover. Now, that's perfect, Diana, because you mentioned this as you were just sharing some examples of how you can help patients. What are some simple tips between the two of you, that listeners can use to stay safe and independent in their homes?
So I think you can look at your home, and we will always suggest remove your throw rugs. It's just a trip hazard. I know people like their throw rugs, but they really are. You're always going to be tripping over them. Make sure you have a clear path. You know, if you have too much stuff, you might have to move that stuff out of the way so you don't trip and fall. I think another thing we like to look at is the bathroom. You know, that's a place where you need grab bars by the toilet. You might need a stool riser. In the shower, that's a big spot for grab bars. Or maybe you need a shower bench or a shower chair to sit on so you're safe while you're taking a shower. So there's lots of things we can do to your home. Maybe it's just a bed rail, or maybe it's a grab bar by the steps coming into your home. There's lots of things that we can do to help you be safe in your home.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and as Sarah's talking about bathrooms, and you know how we talked about the lifespan?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a high percentage of falls that also occur for young kids because they'll get in the bathtub, they take baths, they step out, it's wet. So it's always, you know, so if you have a vertical grab bar to get into the tub or shower, you know, or even if they're in the shower, it helps that little toddler as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, you know, it's not just for, I feel like people will tell me this, it's for old people. It's not for old people.
No.
It's for anybody. And you could have a knee surgery at like 50 or 60. That grab bar is going to be a lifesaver. And if you don't want the eyesore, there's lots of different grab bars out there. We live in a great age to where, you know, there's a lot of them that look really pretty and they match your faucets. They can be decorative. And if you're not ready for it yet and you're redoing your shower, just make sure that your contractor puts blocking in behind the shower walls. So there's something to put those grab bars and you're not limited on where you can put them.
Yeah. So. Great, great tips to share. So we're talking about how we can keep people safe in their homes. So I asked the question, where do you typically provide services?
So we are at the outpatient clinic at the hospital. So we have outpatients. You come to us, people that can walk in. We also go down to the floor on the inpatient side. So if somebody's in with, maybe they have pneumonia and they are just weak, we will go down to the floor and see you and make sure you're up and moving, make sure you can do everything you need to do to get back home again. We also do home health. So with Hamilton County Public Health, we will go to your home if you are homebound and we can see you for a little bit in your home. There's also school settings. You can go into ergonomics, all kinds of places that we can see you at.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Sarah. So as our listeners are hearing the program, learning more about occupational therapy, when should someone consider asking their doctor about occupational therapy services?
Well, I feel like, so if you are going in there for a Medicare eval, like with your doctor every year, I feel like that's a good time to bring it up because you could do a yearly visit with physical therapy and occupational therapy, like for balance, or if you feel like you have questions about home safety or anything like that, it can be a one-time eval. It can be if you feel like you just want to learn a little bit more and maybe there's a few things that you're not doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime that you feel also, if you're younger than that, that you feel like you're not able to do things as well, because we talk about occupations, you know, anything that occupies your time. And if you haven't been able to, let's say your writing's affected or your fine motor or your strength, you notice, you know, you're not as strong as you used to be and it's taking you longer to do things, or you're having difficulty with dressing, or you're having your activity tolerance is less, you know, just any of that is a good time to be able to just for us to address it. Because like you said, we also prevent. So, and a lot of the times, you know, like I said, the Medicare thing, you could be at a fall risk, and if we don't work that balance system, it keeps declining. So we can implement strategies to help that.
Very good. Thank you for sharing, Diana. So I ask both of you, what's one of the most rewarding parts of your job?
I think occupational therapy is a very rewarding job. There's so many things that happen every day that I'm proud to be an OT. Probably when they get to go home from being in the hospital after a month, 2 months, that's great. You know, mm-hmm. That makes me feel good that we helped them.
Yes.
Even with someone who comes in with a wrist fracture and they're like, hey, I opened the doorknob today. Well, that's a win. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I just like those little things that we can do. Maybe they brush their teeth for the first time in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. But all those little things help those people out. And that's what makes me happy about my job.
So. Oh, my gosh. And it makes them happy. So, yes, it's so good that you feel that.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it's those little things, you know. And then having, like, a patient, a lot of people like to bake us things. So, mm-hmm. you know, I go back to baking a lot. But it's good because, you know, if they've been seeing us for, like Sarah said, like a wrist fracture or, let's say, carpal tunnel or a stroke, and they've went home and made something for us, I mean, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they've been able to go out for supper with their family members, that's huge because they've been, you know, homebound. And the social piece is such a big aspect of it too, and when you don't have that because, you know, of a condition you have or an injury, then that's a big deal. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's rewarding for them, and then it's probably allowing them to show you to look what you helped me achieve. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's wonderful, and I know patients love to do that. What surprises people most about occupational therapy? What would you say to that?
I think that once they think about all their occupations during the day, that surprises them. You know, they don't think about mm-hmm. all those things that we do every day. We drove to work. We took care of the kids. We made lunch. All those things are your occupations. So I don't think they quite understand that we actually can help lots of people.
Yeah. In so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like because like Sarah mentioned, we work down on the hospital floor mm-hmm. with people, and about 25% of the time, I bet I'll go into somebody's room and be like, hello, you know, I'm Diana, I'm the occupational therapist. And they're like, oh, well, I don't need you. My arms are just fine. You know, because they think they just need PT because it's mm-hmm. their legs that they can't get up and walk. It's not us. Yeah. But like Sarah and I, you know, we're like, well, we need to work on getting to the bathroom, you know, doing, you know, the toileting inside the bathroom, grooming and hygiene, getting dressed. And, you know, it's the whole person that we're looking at, not just the upper body. But
and you know, I think we do overlap a little bit with PT, but we do it for different reasons. Like physical therapy might come in, have you do some walking and some standing. They're working on your strength mm-hmm. and your motion, where we might come in and still make you do some standing and some walking, but our goal is to make sure you can stand at the sink for 5 minutes to brush your teeth or to do the dishes mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. so we think a little bit differently, and I think that's how we work so well together.
Oh, gosh, I agree. And it just makes me happy to hear. And all the reason to be having a show like this, especially during the recognition month, so that people realize the importance of occupational therapy. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that each of these ladies has received additional certifications. And I want to make sure that we have some time for them to each talk about their certifications, their unique services that they're able to provide. Sarah, I'm going to start with you. If you would, please, talk a little bit about your certification and the therapies that you offer to patients.
So I'm a certified lymphedema therapist, and that is, you probably have not heard of your lymphatic system maybe, but that's what takes away waste and fluid in your body. So if that gets congested, you can start getting extra fluid in your legs, your arms, head, neck, trunk. It doesn't matter. Lots of times it's caused from maybe you had a surgery and now you have scar tissue in there, or you could be born with it, honestly. It could just come on because maybe your heart's not working so well. So there's lots of reasons why you have extra fluid in your body. But with a little manual technique to get rid of that fluid, get your lymphatic system to flow better, we can help you help your skin heal. We can, you know, also help your life because you're able to move more and feel better. So I see all kinds of people. I see people who have had cancer. I've seen people that, you know, they had their knee done and now they have all this extra fluid in their leg. So we can help lots of different people. And sometimes people ignore it. They don't like to, they're just like, just kind of creeps up on them. And then all of a sudden they have, you know, their clothes are tight or they can't get their socks on or So then you can come to me and hopefully we can get you figured back out.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for people to realize that you do this, because I agree with you, Sarah, and you would see it a lot more, is, you know, people can see when they're experiencing that and having fluid. And I think people probably hope that it goes away. They don't want to maybe look at it, address it. But there's help that you know, can work through that. And so it's something that I want to make sure that patients realize that is available through 21st Century Rehab. And we're thrilled that Sarah has that certification.
And I feel like she does such an amazing job at it.
She does.
And the biggest thing is, like, you know, if you're out there listening to this too, it's like, you don't have to feel that way.
No.
Like, if you are feeling crummy, if you're feeling like your legs are heavy, mm-hmm. swollen, you know, like, talk to your doctor about it, you know, or if, you know, you have questions, you know, for Sarah or anybody, you could call 21st and talk to Sarah about it.
That's right.
So, but she's amazing. Thank you.
Yes, yeah. She is. I definitely second that.
Yes.
Diana, too, we had you on a program recently, and we were talking about Parkinson's disease, but I also want you to have the chance to share a little bit about your certification that you have as well.
Yeah, so I'm an LSVT Big certified therapist, and we work with people with Parkinson's and other neurological conditions. So we have this program, it's called LSVT Big, and it's between PT and OT, and I feel like we're fortunate here in Webster mm-hmm. City to have both PT and OT doing this program. Some facilities in rural areas, they're limited to just having PT do it. So I feel like that's really good service we can provide. And it is it's 4 days a week for about an hour, and it's for a minimum of 4 weeks. So usually we see people of average of 4 to 6 weeks, but it's intensive, but it's great. It really helps people regain their movement and just understand, you know, how important I feel like movement and exercise is with that diagnosis. And like I said, it's for other neurological diseases as well. We have used this program for people who are post-stroke as well. So sometimes even if you're post-stroke, like let's say you're out like 5-7 years and you just feel like you're at a standstill, you can still come in and we could do a program like this with you that's intensive and you can see changes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's been like education out there where, you know, you only have a certain window and then there's no change ever. But with like your brain has what's called neuroplasticity, and we can still change that, you know, but we just have to have the right intensity
mm-hmm.
To do that. So just having a little bit of guidance. So you can think of it as your coach, you know, you have it and then you go home and then you do your thing. So, and it's something you carry on doing. But that would be that certification. And then I also actually have, it's called CAPS. It's Certified Aging in Place Specialist. So I've had that probably since becoming an OT. But, and I use that certification a lot just as knowledge to keep people independent in their homes, recommending home modification equipment, like Sarah was talking earlier, shower chairs, you know, things for your home to keep you independent, different lighting solutions, anything like that. So, that we can educate on the outpatient side, inpatient, and also at home health too. So seeing them in their homes is really great, because then you have that hands-on, you know, you're in
first
the home
hand
seeing
look, yes.
Yeah, so that's really good. But
yes, fantastic. And you do a wonderful job. I'm with the LSVT Big program, and I'm glad you mentioned your other certification as well. And we are so fortunate to have a terrific team with 21st Century Rehab at Van Deese Medical Center. Real quick, if someone is interested in any of the services that we have talked about today, do they need to have a referral from their physician, or can they call the department and start with 21st Century? How do we want to best direct our listeners?
So with Medicare and most insurances, we do need a doctor's order. Blue Cross, you do not. So if you have Blue Cross, you can just call us and we can get you in. The doctors here in town are very good. So if we have a patient come in and ask us, hey, I need to get back into therapy, they're usually going to agree and give you an order to come mm-hmm. back in and see us.
Okay. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us for the program today, for the incredible work you do helping people live safely and independently every single day. I do want to mention both Sarah and Diana are available, like they said, at Van Deese Medical Center. 21st Century Rehab is located right inside the west entrance, the main entrance to the hospital. If you have questions for either of them or for any about any of the services that are provided there, you can call the department at 515-832-7735. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thanks, ladies. And Lori, we look forward to another great show next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Lori. That's Focus on Health brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. The preceding program was paid for by Van Deese Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa.